It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Summer movies are out, and Al Hoff is in Studio A with us. Al Hoff reviews movies for the Pittsburgh City Paper and is with us now for the first time in a long time. It's great to have you back. Al Hoff, how are you?
I'm great, Paul. Thanks.
You've been seeing a lot of movies lately.
I have.
And I don't get to nearly as many as you do, but I did get to see, as long as we're talking about summer blockbuster movies, we may as well start with the King of the Monsters, Godzilla, which has been out now for a little while. A
couple weeks.
You saw it, and I had a chance to see it, but I'd like to know what you thought of it.
I think that the monster was really cool looking. I like that they did a slow reveal.
In other words, that the monster doesn't show up for a little while.
Doesn't show up for a while, and then he's sort of shown in that classic sense where you get bits and pieces of him. You see a bit of a foot. You see like a shadow. You see a silhouette, you know, before you have the kind of big reveal. I always think that's an effective technique that's not used too much.
The first King Kong did that.
Correct. I mean, it sort of dates from the old days when you would just sort of have, the Dance of the Seven Veils. You know, you see a little bit at a time and it builds anticipation. I had some problems with the plot. I had some problems with virtually every human character. But I do think that Godzilla fans, after sitting through 28 other Godzilla movies, are pretty happy to go see any form of Godzilla. Even if it's not great, it's something that they can argue about.
One thing that I enjoyed about this movie was you really got a sense of, and you know it's these situations are preposterous. It's all computer-generated effects. But I did get lost in them, and I really appreciated the sense of space, the oceans, the mountains. This monster is moving from
right.
Godzilla's going from Tokyo to Hawaii to San Francisco.
Actually, that's Vancouver. I was completely taken out of the film because they said it was San Francisco, and it was clear that they shot it in Vancouver.
Do you mean, so does Vancouver have a Trans Am building too?
Well, no, they just digitally added things. But like, I'm from San Francisco, and I'm like, that's not San Francisco's streets.
Until you just said that, I had no idea. So for those of us non-San Franciscans,
right.
It kind of works.
Right.
What about the actors in this movie? There are people like Bryan Cranston, Ken Watanabe. I mean, the actors, I thought, lended a certain gravitas to the movie. What did you think?
I think they rounded up some really great actors, and I think they didn't give them anything to do other than sort of stand around and react to explosions and buildings falling. I mean, number one, there was three great actresses in that film that had absolutely nothing to do. Two of them, you weren't even sure what their role was. And then the third was just the imperiled mom, which is like that's like a waste of anyone that can act. It was a little baffling to me, but I mean, obviously the focus of the film is Godzilla and the other monsters. But I always get annoyed with these movies because just because the monster is primary doesn't mean you can't spend like an extra 5 minutes writing better scenes for the humans.
All right, so Al Hoff, kind of a mixed review.
It's a mixed review
of Godzilla.
Go for the monsters.
Go for the monsters.
Ignore the humans.
And check your brain at the door. There are some other big movies coming out, and one of them is a Disney movie. It's called Maleficent.
Maleficent.
And you have seen this movie?
I have seen it. It comes out on Friday. It's essentially a version of Sleeping Beauty, but told from the perspective of the villainess, the woman that puts the curse on the princess to, you know, be cast into a deep sleep.
Darker Disney tale.
It's a little darker. I mean, people were worried it might be too dark. I wouldn't say that it's too dark. It's beautiful to look at. It's got tons and tons and tons of sort of CGI environments. I mean, sort of like Avatar. It's got that kind of feel in many scenes. Angelina Jolie looks incredible. I mean, it's like the world's greatest drag performance. It's just you just can't stop staring at how they've like sort of either through makeup or digital effects just kind of rearranged her face into this gorgeously freaky thing. But it, you know what? In fairness, it has a lot of heart. It's Disney, so you know it might be a little more shadowy, but it's not. Believe me, parents, it's not going to end up in a completely dark place. I assure you it ends up in a heartwarming place.
Another movie that I think is just about to come out, A Million Ways to Die in the West.
That's also out on Friday.
And you have seen this as well?
I have, and it's pretty disappointing. You know, Seth MacFarlane had a pretty big hit with Ted where he wrote it and he played the voice of the sort of profane teddy bear. In this one, he stars, and he's not a very good actor. He's in every scene, so it's sort of you sort of feel it's Seth MacFarlane in a movie. So you don't kind of get a sense of the character. As ridiculous as the film is, you still kind of need to invest in this guy who lives in the Old West. Most of the jokes are pretty much your button pushing, you know, jokes about excrement and boobs and, you know, the usual round of things.
So not exactly like Algonquin roundtable fare here.
No, and some of it is like intentionally offensive in that way where he's sort of daring you to say, oh, well, I'm acknowledging this is an offensive joke, so if you're offended, that's your problem.
Well,
I find that particularly juvenile. Yes,
his whole attitude. I mean, he was that way at the Academy Awards. Right. Offended a lot of people and didn't seem to care. Right. But in the context of a movie, that can work. But you're saying it doesn't work here.
It's not very. It can work. I mean, Borat's a great example of when that does work, where like everyone is sort of in on the joke and it's amazingly offensive material. But there's like a way you spin that so it becomes like more illuminating. Seth MacFarlane, I mean, you know, he's a sort of a smug brat, and I mean, that's how it comes off in the film. Some people love him. Plenty of people laughed. I mean, it's pretty much your own taste level. You know, if you like everything he does, you'll probably like this film. If you only like Ted, if you were surprised by Ted, you might just want to wait till this is on Netflix or something.
Fair enough. Now, another movie that was intended to be funny is Blended. Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore. The third time that they've been together, the first time was The Wedding Singer. The second time was 51st Dates. And now here they are a considerable years later in Blended. And does this third pairing of them work as well as the first two?
You know, it's a kindler, gentler Adam Sandler movie. I'm not a big fan. Again, you know, he's another one of those guys that's sort of like the smug, poopy joke guy. This movie is more family oriented, so it dials back on a lot of that. You know, it's essentially a very special Brady Bunch episode where two single parents with kids take a vacation together. It's a little long. It's over 2 hours, which seems an insane amount of time to spend with Adam Sandler. It takes place in South Africa, which I was kind of hopeful for because I'm like, maybe we'll just get some scenery or just something interesting, or there'll be some kind of conflict with like these sort of, you know, Westerners in a different place. But it all takes place at this like resort in South Africa, Sun City. So it's just this hothouse of sort of like Vegas like resort with pools and fake Africa decorations. It's a long skit because obviously you know where it's going to end up. I will say the one thing that steals the movie is Terry Crews, who, you know, people may be seeing on, you know, Brooklyn NYPD, the football player who's turned into like quite a
999.
Fun, 99. Brooklyn. The Brooklyn TV show. Yeah,
yeah, that one.
Yeah. The one with Andy Samberg, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's turned into quite a good sort of drop him in, he'll be your funny cameo guy. But again, something else you might want to wait for on DVD or Netflix.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking with Al Hoff, who reviews movies for the Pittsburgh City Paper and joins us from time to time here on the program at critical junctures during the year, such as the summer movie explosion. I want to talk about movies that are coming. We've talked about the ones that are coming out this weekend, and I want to get to what's coming out next weekend, including a movie that was filmed in Pittsburgh. This is coming out June 6th, The Fault in Our Stars. A lot of anticipation for this in the Steel City.
Well, there's a lot of anticipation for this nationwide. This was an extremely popular book. I mean, it was New York Times bestseller. It's, you know, runaway young adult novel about two teens who each have cancer, who sort of meet and start a relationship. You know, it's sweet. It's going to be tear-jerking. They both have bad cancer. The story actually takes place in Indianapolis, but they shot it here in Pittsburgh. So there's going to be, I think they already have like midnight screenings of this set up. It's going to be, because a lot of people read this book. It was a young adult book, but a lot of adults read it. It was on the New York Times bestseller list for weeks.
And there's another Tom Cruise sci-fi flick that is coming out this summer. What can you tell us about this fact that it's going to be out on June 6th as well?
That's correct. It's called Edge of Tomorrow, and it's a sort of Groundhog Day in a dystopian future, from what I can tell. He's essentially a soldier who essentially has to fight some evil thing, and he's killed, and then he's reborn with new knowledge. And he like has to sort of come back again and again and again in order to essentially sort this out. It's Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt, and it's, you know, it could be fun. I mean, it's an interesting idea. It's like dark and kind of weird. So hopefully it'll be more thoughtful than explosions, but we'll have to see.
Also this summer in Pittsburgh, we have filmmakers bringing back free art movies, and there are free movies in the parks. What can you tell us about this, Al?
Yeah, well, first off, the Filmmakers thing runs in conjunction with the Three Rivers Arts Festival. It's June 6th through 14th at the Harris. These are free films, nearly a dozen that are about art or art-related subjects. So there's one about people who paint commercial signs. There's one about making indie movies. And for people who saw Inside Llewellyn Davis last year, they might be interested in a film called Greenwich Village, The Music That Defined a Generation, which is a documentary about that scene. So those are all worth checking out. Perhaps if you're down at the Arts Festival, you can just pop in on your way home. The Cinema in the Park series is back. That also starts next week. That is courtesy of some local financial institutions. They run free movies in about 8 of the city parks. The biggest of them, of course, Schenley Park, where you can sit on the big lawn there. They're mostly family-oriented movies, but, you know, anyone can go. And, you know, you can see things like Iron Man 3, Monsters University. Most of them are fairly new movies, and you know, take a picnic, have a good time.
One last topic I wanted to cover with you, Al Hoff, and that is the movie Million Dollar Arm. It's been out. It's received good reviews. It stars John Hamm as a baseball agent, a talent scout, who goes to find the next big thing in India. He finds two pitchers who are two guys who've played cricket, and so therefore can throw, but the question is, can they be taught to be major league pitchers? One of them, Rinku Singh, is still in the Pirates organization, still has a chance at least of making it to the major league. So it's an interesting story here that in real life has not yet come to its ending, but they went ahead and made this movie anyway, starring John Hamm of Mad Men fame. So what did you think of it?
You know, it's exactly what you'd expect it to be. It's a Disney-financed inspirational sports film, so you know that things are going to end pretty well. This agent, J.B. Bernstein, he goes to India and sponsors this sort of televised, like, American Idol-type concerts for people who can throw a fastball. And two guys win and come over and are trained to essentially, hopefully, make it into the major leagues, and the Pirates sign them. The film's a bit disingenuous about what actually happens to these guys. It sort of ends on a very upbeat note and doesn't really do any follow-through. So I would certainly encourage people who are looking for a feel-good sports movie that this is absolutely that. But they might want to go home and hit up Wikipedia or something, because it's real life isn't always the same as Disney movies.
That is a good note to end on, something we'll take to heart. Al Hoff reviews movies for the Pittsburgh City Paper and from time to time here on Essential Pittsburgh. Al, great to see you again. Thank you so much, and have a great summer at the movies.
Whee! Thanks.
Coming up, what's behind the great whiskey shortage? We'll talk with the co-owner of Wiggle Whiskey. That's next on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.